You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and boy, I tell you, the first 2 hours are going to be tough to top, but I think we're going to be able to manage because we've got that much going on. We really do. Our thanks to Liz, and I just want to say, when you're in the work she's in, I want to encourage everyone to pray for Liz's safety, and I'm not trying to be a drama queen here, but I do know of many, many people who have been murdered for covering this. And Nancy Schaefer comes to mind, former Georgia state senator, and she had the forces line up against her. And of course, it was a murder-suicide. She got shot by her husband, who committed suicide by shooting himself in the back. So you know how that goes, and you know about how some people in law enforcement are compromised. Not most, some. And that's how you get coroner's decisions like this. So pray for Liz's safety. Also, to make sure you're catching Josh's show. It's really worth the listen. He was too good at his job, and that's why Crawford Management at WYDE 101 FM in Birmingham. It's ordinary. They got great people there. It's a good station. I've listened to it quite a bit on the net. But they couldn't take Josh telling the truth. And they tried to say, you got to tone it down. He goes, why? I'm telling the truth. Well, we're not meant for mainstream media. And then Josh is here and doing his thing. And Darren Dammy, my good friend, KTAR, same thing. He's going off the air, and really, mostly it is true for family personal reasons, but they won't relocate him to another spot, and given how popular he is, it's a no-brainer. And it's a no-brainer, but they won't do it because it's just easier to let him go. That's why. And he wasn't going to continue. Tired of microwave meals at 9 o'clock at night. And I know he's completely honest about his reasons, but I also know that when you're in radio management and you got a top-rated show like his is, top in his time slot, they should have moved him. They should have given him something prime time. He's sure as hell better than the other two people they have. One of them is a clown. It's so much like listening to the fingernails on the chalkboard. Anyway, I wanted to just let you know before we're joined by Paul Martin, who's in transit right now to his home where we're going to call him, but I wanted to let you know I'm having a lot of trouble with YouTube, and I've used the YouTube income that I've derived to really support a lot of our operations, like the newsletter and, in part, this radio show. And all the ads you hear on here are not tied to revenue generation. Some of these people are old friends who've been with me since the beginning, and we have partnerships in other ways. And many people try to encourage me to go and do more commercials here. And I'll get back to that idea in a minute. I'm fundamentally opposed to it. I'll tell you that off the top. But let me give you a couple examples of the trouble I'm having with YouTube. These 3 hours will not go up on YouTube. I'll have nothing but major problems. And they are demonetizing videos for things as simple as, did you know your dog can lower your mortality rate if you own a canine and you're over the age of 65 and your mortality rate goes down by 33%? YouTube demonetized that as if it was a threat for somebody. And you wouldn't believe all the thank you notes I got from people thanking me for airing this. Brought back fond memories of the pets they've lost, and including my own, Baby Bach, who we lost last summer after 14 years. And I have to tell you that the demonetizations that are going on, I'll give you another example, that the researchers have found now that having a heartbreak, a serious heartbreak in a romantic relationship, can be as bad for your heart as your first heart attack. And they were saying, whoa, this is incredible finding. Well, I put that up on YouTube. I thought it would be useful for people to hear, and we had some suggestions on how to ease some of the pain and how you can get through it without resorting to bad chemicals. And YouTube demonetized that as well, as if that's some kind of political threat to somebody. And what they typically do is they'll demonetize 8 out of 10 videos I do, and then 5 days later they'll come back with almost all of them and say, oh, it's appropriate for advertising, we can go ahead and approve it now. But by that time the traffic has moved on, and I get no revenue from it whatsoever. And that's the problem I've been having. So I'm kind of torn betwixt and between. I really have three options here. I can increase the advertising at the quarter hours, which most hosts do. I could go to the half hours, which I don't do. I mean, I hated what they had over at Republic. I just absolutely hated their clock because it seemed like every time you turned around, there was another commercial coming, and I don't want to have that kind of show. The other thing I can do is I can cut services, and the first thing to go would be the newsletter, but it's so popular now, we're reaching over 40,000 people, and the open rate on that is somewhere around 60%, which is incredible. So I don't know that I want to do that either, so, you know, my options are becoming slim and none. So what I think we're going to do, I'm not going to increase the ads you hear. I mean, if we lose an advertiser that does bring some revenue in, then we'll probably try to replace it with somebody else. But we're not going to add to the existing advertising ratio, but I am going to have to ask for donations. And it's something that we've never really done here on the Common Sense Show since I started almost 10 years ago. It'd be 10 years ago, December the 8th. Ooh, can you believe that? My time flies when you're having a Holocaust in your own nation, right? But anyway, I'm going to open up, and the donations can be made out to the Common Sense Show or simply to me, Dave Hodges. And if you are willing and God shows you the way that maybe you should be donating and no amount's too small, you can send to P.O. Box 32, Whitman, Arizona, W-I-T-T-M-A-N-N, Whitman, Arizona, 85361. That's Post Office Box 32, Whitman, Arizona, 85361. I want to keep the program the same, and I don't want to have to cut services, but, you know, like everybody else, I got budget, I got my bills, and we kind of view this as my hobby, and I'm not going to let this bleed over, so if you know what I'm saying. And a lot of people are in my position, too, because of what's going on in social media. We've overcome a lot of what's happened, you know, with Google, and they basically have delisted me. I get 85% of the Google traffic that I used to get, and we're still doing pretty darn good. So, you know, we've kind of weathered that storm, and there's not a whole lot more Google can do. They say they're going to delist all these people, but the reality is it's not going to really hit me much there because our web traffic is growing. So, you know, it is what it is, and I'll just tell you, this is the struggles of trying to stay afloat, and it's not easy to maintain a radio show for 10 years. And I'll tell you, that's something that I had no idea how long I'd be doing this when I started. You remember, I started because John McCain was trying to steal my property and that of my neighbors, and I wanted to call attention to it. And Pete Peterson, the late Pete Peterson in Wickenburg, Arizona, said, Dave, you should have a show. And I started there and started fighting back. And little did I know, 10 years later, I'd be in the midst of the battles. And I've met really interesting people. I've met great people in government. My own congressman, wonderful guy, Paul Gosar. You've heard him on the show here a couple months ago. Our Secretary of State here in Arizona, who you heard, wonderful, wonderful lady, Michelle Reagan, running for re-election next year. I've met great people, but I do the show and I focus a lot on the scoundrels because this isn't the kind of country that I want to hand off to the children that are coming up. And so I think that we really need to take a look at banding together and becoming more active. And one more thing I'd like to mention here, too, before we go to Paul, and I'm kind of waiting for the heads up here. I've been told he needs a couple more minutes. But we need to get active. We really do. I'm so glad and thankful that so many of you tune in every Sunday night. You listen to the podcast over on the Common Sense Show on YouTube, and you follow the articles that I put up. I'm very appreciative of that fact. But we need to translate this knowledge into action now. The deep state is vulnerable. We have them down. And the old rule of thumb, when you're in a street fight and you knock someone down, you don't dare let them get back up. And that's kind of where we're at right now. They are in big trouble. You heard Liz come on here tonight and talk about how much trouble they're in. Anyway, I wanted to just kind of bare my soul on where we're at with the show. This is kind of the decade report for the Common Sense Show, because I've never done a report like this about the show. And we I want you to know I appreciate all of you. I hate coming with my hand out, but if I'm going to maintain services, I've got to have a little help. Anyway, I'm told by Todd that we do have Paul Martin from revolutionradio.org. Paul, my friend, how you doing?
Well, good, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm good. We have had the show. Let me just kind of encapsulate where my audience has been, because I think there's some springboards here into what some of the things we're going to talk about. But, Paul, I had on Liz Crokin in the first hour, and she had President Trump retweet a video that she was in about child sex trafficking. President Trump. That's right. And, of course, the deep state has gone after her with everything they can. And then, of course, I had an interview with April Lejeune. And I do believe that the Marines were at Langley and they did deliver indictments, but it didn't have the fanfare that some people carried with it. We interviewed April Lejeune on that. Very, very, very low-key, very conservative approach to the news, and she's trustworthy. You get a sense about people. Then I had Josh Coy on, Paul, and I hope that you kind of are sitting down for this one. And I'll probably screw this up here. Here, let me get my sheet. I wrote this medical condition down on. I've never heard of it. Creutzfeldt-Jakob. And he's saying this is what Hillary Clinton has, according to his neurologist, and that's from eating flesh, human beings, cannibalism, and you know about the flesh parties they have with the child trafficking and so forth, you know.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
I know you know about it. So that's where we've been tonight. Kind of, you know, like I said, we've been on the stuff that has gotten us knocked off the air before. Anyway, Paul, I'm going to just kind of open this up to you. Paul and I, just as kind of a way of introduction, have been talking about a lot of issues this week on the phone, and almost too many to shake a stick at. So, Paul, I'm going to kind of leave this smorgasbord of important topics up to you. Where do you want to start?
Wow. Well, let's start with this. I got an email. I just got in from work, ladies and gentlemen. So it was on my phone. I was checking my email on the phone. It's from John Moore at 7:55 Rocky Mountain Time. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been discussing the clear and present danger of an EMP attack on the USA for a number of years. I've read authoritative books by experts like Dr. Peter Pry, former head of now defunct U.S. Commission on EMP. I've interviewed Dr. Pry on my radio show. Until recently, I felt that the failure of the federal government to protect the national power grid was just another example of an inadvertent result of our very dysfunctional swamp in Washington, D.C. However, upon further reflection, I've concluded that the failure to protect the national power grid is by design and with intent. I have recently learned that officials in the Obama administration were actively blocking any possibility of the recommendations of the EMP Commission becoming successful. The report, 208 pages, released in 2008, is a free download at my website, thelibertyman.com. As most of you know, I've been a homicide detective most of my adult life and an intelligence analyst before that. By both education and profession, I'm trained to find evidence, analyze it, and make conclusions based on that evidence. Based on the evidence I've found, I can come to no other conclusion other than the complete failure to protect the national power grid is by design and with intent. The goal being to prepare the USA for a successful invasion by our enemies, the Russians, Chinese, and their allies. With all of the above in mind, there are a couple of unknowns, at least to me they're unknown. One, does President Trump plan to move forward to protect the national power grid? Two, if so, will he be able to do so in time? Absent having answers to the two above questions, I advocate the following. Number one, prepare for both a grid-down scenario and an invasion. Two, pray for God's healing and protection, and it's now, in capital letters. I know all too well the enormity of what I advocate. I also know that failure to do so could result in serious injury or death. My recommendation of becoming part of a hobby farm that's self-sufficient, 100 miles or more from a major city, and 800 feet above sea level holds true. May God bless and save America, John Moore, November 27, 2017. Well, we can open up with that, Dave.
Well, it's pretty interesting because I'm going to hearken back to the year 2008. And at the church I was attending at the time, it was called the Community Church of Joy, Congressman Trent Franks spoke. And he was our guest, and people from all over the area, standing room only, in this large, large church, came to hear him speak. And he showed a video. And the video was basically made by the Naval War College. And it showed that 2 years after a EMP discharge in America with two nukes going off at mid-continent United States, 100 miles up, that 90% of us would not be here. And that was also the conclusion of the man who wrote the book One Second After, and his name, Fortune. That's who wrote the book. And he said the same thing. I published letters written by Congressman Franks to both the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and to President Obama himself, demanding that we spend $2 billion, the cost of one B-1 bomber, to harden the grid against an EMP attack. He said it can be done for $2 billion. Obama ignored him, and NRC did as well, never answered him. So, Paul, based on that lengthy response to what you read from John Moore, I'd have to say I'm in a total agreement with John Moore, because Congressman Franks showed that this was possible.
Absolutely. Well, there is some pretty credentialed people out there that say unequivocally that the North Koreans do possess that kind of weaponry to use on us. So I suggest, as always, it's nice not to be doing a show at midnight at night. That people, you know, I know this sounds like a broken record, but with all of the things we've got going on with what John Moore just wrote today, and diseases and pneumonic plagues, and we got to talk about that in a minute. But before we do that, I read this on a podcast that you and I had done a week or so ago. And one of the things that I enjoy about the internet is comment sections on articles. And there was an article on the pneumonic plague, and it happened to be over at Zero Hedge. And so I don't have to read the article. I just go straight to the comments, and just, you know, because it's got some very bright people over there
I agree,
that live there. And this was an email on November 11th, 2017. Most Americans have bought into vaccinations as a, quote, necessary evil, even to the point of being open to forced vaccinations in the event of a pandemic due to an erroneous belief in, quote, herd immunity, which supposedly magically protects everyone. I believe that this is the primary means by which the governments will introduce a soft martial law, because the public will believe it is necessary, quote, for the common good, unquote. And this can be instituted with impunity via police roadside checkpoints, forced entry into homes, mandatory evacuation into FEMA camps, etc., with little pushback. For the record, I have a master's degree in molecular biology and genetics from the University of Houston, 2000. I got my degree while studying anthrax, and I was paid on a CIA grant. While there, I learned many, many disturbing things about our government bioterror program, including the farce that was the Kenema National Labs in Sierra Leone, Africa. Suffice it to say that if there is any disease outbreak, it will definitely be some bug that was developed in that lab or a similar one that will be featured. It isn't by accident that Legionnaire's disease, Ebola, Marburg, AIDS, and other such diseases have grabbed headlines since 1975, when the lab started to really get going. Oh, it's just locals eating bushmeat, they'd say, when there's an outbreak. Let's make a vaccine to protect them. Well, it was the vaccines that caused those problems to begin with. Several things to think about concerning that lab. Why is it that facility in Africa and not in the USA? Most would say, well, duh, that's where the diseases are. And there is truth to that. But the real reasons are that, number one, the government there is bought and paid for with no oversight on the lab. Two, the people there are not well educated, which leads to three, they have been more brainwashed into the need for vaccinations, leading to the perfect source of willing guinea pigs. Also, there is little media present there, so when the, quote, breakouts, unquote, do happen, they can be attributed to those careless Bush people instead of there being any real investigations, which would show that those exhibiting symptoms almost always were vaccinated with the very same thing they came down with. And one more thing about the Kenema National Labs. Back during the Ebola scare, there was a man from the World Health Organization who investigated that lab by the name of Glenn Thomas. He apparently had discovered some unsettling things and was going to report them. But unfortunately, he just happened, along with many prominent microbiologists, to be on flight MH17 when it went down. Conveniently, it turned out, and not long after that, the lab was quietly shuttered. So anyway, that's my long-winded take on why this is not merely fear-mongering. It is part of the plan, and it would be best to be both aware of it and prepared for it when it happens. And I called you earlier for you to look at a report on the actual numbers of the bubonic, not the bubonic. Bubonic is being bitten by a flea. Pneumonic, P-N-E, pneumonic plague is airborne. Coughs, sneezes, hacks, stuff like that. So would you bring everybody up to speed on that, please?
Well, before we leave that email that you just read from, I have to retell this story. And I haven't mentioned it much on the air, and I certainly haven't for a few years, but I had a friend in FEMA. I used to be a Maricopa County first responder, and I did it because I was told, you and your family will get the shots first. And this is back in the 90s. So I thought, okay, good. And I started attending, you know, infrequent meetings. And then FEMA moved in and decided they were going to take the program over, and we had a transition period. In the transition period, I became friends with this guy from FEMA. We started to hang out together, play a little basketball, go to happy hour, that kind of thing. And then one day he shows up at my place of work and says, we're bugging out in 2 months and you can't tell anybody, do not print this until after we're gone. And he told me that the rising tide of populism in America is going to invite chemical and biological intervention from the, quote, real people that run this country. And his specialty was counter-bioterrorism. So this wasn't an opinion from a man who worked as a custodian in the halls of FEMA. This was a guy who was on the front lines. And at great cost to himself and mostly to his kids, he did indeed move them in December and relocated to an unknown location, although I kind of know where it's at, but I'll never tell, but in the Southeast with like-minded people from the same organization. And he said they are fearful, they being the elite, of the rising tide of populism in this country. And I want everyone to keep in mind, this was 2012. This is October of 2012 when he told me this. He left in December. And he told me, he said, if they can't stop it, they're gonna basically start wiping out large segments of the population. And that's why he was relocating to where he had his own portable air and the whole nine yards. So, Paul, let's get right down to brass tacks here. I've heard this story before from a very trusted source. And I have no doubt that what you were told in this email is 100% accurate, because been there, done that. And I want to mention this too. The year was 2012. Donald Trump didn't start campaigning until 2015. And they were concerned about populism rising then. They must be going crazy today, Paul. So that's my first reaction to that first story, is it's unquestionably true. The second story was about the pneumonic plague. Well, I have talked to a number of people, and I keep being told the numbers, and I put this into print, that the numbers are far larger, and the spread is not 10 countries. It's way beyond 10 countries now. That's what I'm getting. So how does that match up with what you know?
Well, I mean, there was a report that was today out of the Mirror out of the UK, and that article was stating that the, you know, the and I've been following, like, all kinds of stuff like this. Day one, I usually see it. And I think the last numbers that I published were 197 deaths, possibly 200, 1,300 infected. Well, according to the Mirror out of the UK, the death rate is way higher than that. It's exceeding 1,000 with 12,300 infected. And you could triple or quadruple that. You know, when this thing, you know, the first 2 weeks when this thing first came out, it was the first week, Dave, and one of the scientists goes, hey, this is twice as strong as the original bubonic plague. And I went, bioweapon. So I called Steve Quayle. You know, I told him what the scientist says. I said, Steve, this is a bioweapon, isn't it? He goes, it's a bioweapon, Paul. I said, okay, thanks, goodbye. And so there again, we don't have any idea of really what's going on. And as this piece that I just read from this molecular biology guy, that he was talking about there in Sierra Leone and stuff, there's just not much press. You know, things are easy to shut up. And, you know, it was like week two with this pneumonic plague, and it went to, the death rate was in 3 days. Well, then that changed, and it went to 24 hours. And I'm thinking back, is it mathematically, and you're an analytical guy, is it analytically possible that nobody or groups of nobodies got off of that island? Dave?
No, absolutely no, impossible.
It's right. And one of the things that we learned during the Ebola outbreak was that there were things called super carriers. And these super carriers could carry the live whatever it is, and it doesn't affect them, but they can infect other people. So there's been super carriers with the H1N1, the H5N1, the H7N1, the deadly SARS disease. There were super carriers with that. And there have been super carriers with all of these things, you know, we've seen in the last 15, 20 years. So it would be, in a intellectually honest thought to yourself or to the listeners, that it would be impossible to keep everybody on Madagascar. It would just be impossible. People freak out. People get scared. Me and my wife and kids, we're out of here. And I was back when the H3N1, it was a few years ago, was broke out at the Illinois State Fair. And throughout all those deals, I ran into a couple guys that were in the business. And all of a sudden, the H7N1 popped up. And I believe that was in Nebraska in the same time frame. So I called this doctor, and I asked him, I said, Doc, I said, what happens with the H3N1 and the H7N1 meet and combine? He said, the minute that I hear of that, he said, me and my wife are out of here. He said, that will be an absolutely nightmare. Now we go to this pneumonic plague. So we did this on a podcast, and I call him up and I go, he's my CDC guy. And I go, what happens if this pneumonic plague gets here? And he said, due to the facts that we've massively overused antibiotics for the last four decades, our immune systems are so suppressed and so shot. He said, if that gets here, it will be like pouring 50,000 gallons of gasoline on a large piece of concrete and lighting it. He said, that's how fast this stuff will spread. So we'll just have to see. But, I mean, somebody somewhere out there knows where this stuff is. And will we learn in time? I don't know. But I do know this. The first outbreak you hear in this country, it'll probably be on the East Coast. Somebody will fly in or something. You're going to have to hold in place in your homes. Nobody in, nobody out. I've been prepared since the Ebola outbreak. and you've got to have the at the very minimum M7 mask. You've got to you can go down to your paint store and buy the pink, the zip up white paint suits. Those are basically what they wear in the CDC labs anyway. Blue gloves, ways to, you know, stuff to tape the where the end of your sleeve meets your gloves, like that. Little booties if you go outside, and especially if you're in the city. You know, I'm out here in the country, so I mean, I can see a long way anybody even thinking about coming to my house. But you'll have to prepare to hold in place so these things burn out. And they do burn out. One of the things that happens to these things is that they jump into one host, and this wasn't so much with the H1N1, H5N1, H7N1, and all those. But what happens is it gets into it jumps into you, Dave, and it looks around and it goes, okay, what have I got to fight here? And that's how those things change. They protect themselves and they morph into other things. And then they go to the other guy and they get in him, and, oh crap, there's some stuff over here I got to fight. So they fight that, and then they morph again. But sometimes they jump into the wrong host, and his immune system and whatever's inside of him, and it goes, oh crap, I'm whooped, and it kills it. And so these things can run very, very hot for a long time. They can get into the wrong place the wrong time and just drop off the map. I mean, that's been historical, even with SARS, and as deadly as SARS is. And SARS is still out there. And they still don't, you know, according to the press, wink, wink, coink-a-dink, they think it was a wild animal that somebody got infected with. Well, I just read you an article and said it's not, from a guy that knows, that had a CIA, had been, his education been paid for by CA. So, having said that, and what your gentleman that bugged out with his like-minded friends, my East Coast said over 3 years ago, bioweapons going to be the weapon of choice they're going to hit you with. And combined with that, I think it was about 3 years ago, I was talking to John Moreland, and I go, John, I don't think they're just going to hit us with one thing. And he said, no, Paul, you're right. They're probably going to hit us with three. One, depending on what it is, probably won't do it. But two or three combined, you know, 1 week here, boom, here comes another one. Another week, boom, here comes another one. You know, that will change America forever. So these are just some things that we've got to be aware of, people.
My FEMA source told me that they'll hit us with as many things as they need to get the desired result.
Oh, I believe that, and I think your FEMA guy also said, was telling you, Dave. He said we've got stuff that the Israelis, Chinese, and Russians don't even know about.
Yes, he did. He said we have things that the world doesn't know we have, and he knows how deadly they are. He would not tell me, because he said, it's one thing for me to go on the run. It's one thing for me to talk about what I know. It's another thing to reveal state secrets. He goes, I'm not going there. He really felt if he stayed out in the open, not only would he be at risk for what was going to be spread, but he was afraid he was going to be treated as a brown shirt because he worked in this field, eliminate all the witnesses, and dead men tell no tales. And that was another reason why he bugged out. So not only did he feel that they had the definite possibility of carrying this out to stop the rise of populism, but he felt they would also wipe out the people connected to the work in it.
Oh, absolutely. That goes without saying. But, you know, here again, same drill. Food, water, you got to have both of those ways to protect yourself. I mean, I'll do what I can, and I know Steve Quayle with, and I know you will too, Dave, that we'll, you know, with all our different sources, if anything, if we get a window on this or an update or something like that it's here, well, we'll be getting it out immediately. But I think you need to have the where-for-all, and it's very cheap. Those paint suits, the zip-up white suits are cheap. Blue gloves are cheap. M7 masks are very inexpensive when you're, you know, staying in your home and stuff like that. But I don't see how – I don't – but we dodged a bullet with Ebola. I don't know if we're going to dodge this one or not. I hope we do.
Well, I don't think it's a bullet. I think the whole magazine is coming after us. It's not a single
that's probably true. Well said. But back to what I read, that email I got at John Moore at 7:55. I've known John a long, 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 long time, and he felt the need to write that email because he believes that we're going to get hit with that. And it makes, I mean, we've talked about this on tons of podcasts at night, and both of these things, bioweapons are very easy to make. They're very easy to disperse. I mean, you could have some ISIS guys that are here, like my one source said, they're here like pennies. They could just bring in the pneumonic plague, cook up a few batches of it, put it in an aerolizer, walk through JFK, walk through LaGuardia, walk through L.A., walk through O'Hare, walk through Atlanta, put a 96-hour window on it, boom, goes hot. There you go, just like in the movie Outbreak. That map they had on that movie was very, very, very well done. But go ahead.
The method of distribution that I was told about, he said it wouldn't surprise him. Put it in a canister, drive through downtown Phoenix, and you know this was where we were living, so that would be the example. And go around the downtown area for about 45 minutes, releasing this, and basically encapsulate maybe 20 square miles. And he said, within 3 hours, and he used 3 hours, Paul, I think you'll find that interesting. Within 3 hours, he said, you'd have 100,000 people dead or near death.
You know, that three-hour deal keeps coming up, doesn't it?
It does. You know, let me change gears for a second. We'll come back to this. Last night, I'm doing some late-night work, and I was flipping through and wanted to see how some of my old college basketball friends were doing with their teams and looking, you know, various stuff on TV. And I thought, look at this, look at this. Hey, Chuck Barris, remember the Gong Show?
Oh, yeah.
Now, those of you who are, probably under 45 or 50 now, the Gong Show was a show where people would have ridiculously bad acts, maybe one would be good, and they'd get gonged off the show. And the funny part was how stupid these people were. And Chuck Barris was the producer, the host. He also produced The Newlywed Game, The Dating Game, and those of you circa 1970s TV know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, they had on something that I've been told about many times, and I wanted to get your reaction to this. I didn't know there was actually a movie made with George Clooney in it where Chuck Barris was revealed, and he wrote he called it an unauthorized biography, of which he was a CIA hitman, and he claims to have killed 33 people. Are you aware of that with Chuck Barris?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Well, I recorded it. See if I can get my technical guru kid to turn this into a DVD, and I'll send it up to you. But really fascinating, and I've heard this before. I heard he was a hitman for the CIA. In fact, I actually had that discussion one time with Bill Pollack, who used to be ex-contract guy with the CIA and did Air Force intel work, and Bill passed 8 years ago from cancer. And Bill had told me the same story about Chuck Barris. Chuck Barris just died this year. He was 87 years old. I really thought that was an interesting story. But you never know where these people are coming from. Let me tell you, too, what I was told by my source. And I've not revealed this before. And he asked me not to initially. Excuse me. But I think now it's safe to do so. It's been 5 years. He told me, he said, there are distribution agents that we have wherever we want to target an outbreak of something. And he goes, when you see these outbreaks of legionnaires and other stuff, he said, that's usually something that we've done in conjunction with the CIA. And he said they have their people on the ground who would be your mailman. They might work at FedEx. They might have any number of jobs, but they are trained to distribute and also protect themselves at the same time. And those are the distribution agent provocateurs that release, that are trained to release these biochemicals. And he said they live in and among us. That's the reason I brought up Chuck Barris, because who would ever thunk that Chuck Barris was a CIA hitman? But the evidence is pretty overwhelming. I did some research on the net today about that, Paul, and the net's filled with media covered it. And I was pretty stunned at that. Yeah, so anyway, the point being, the reason I brought this up was if there is going to be a distribution of biochemicals, I don't think it's all going to be ISIS and CIA drones, although I think that's a very real possibility. I think it's going to be your friendly neighborhood paperboy and his dad that might have been trained by the CIA to do exactly what I'm talking about. And you go, well, that's a crazy conspiracy theory. Well, not according to my, what was at one time my best source.
Well, they're getting ready for something here. I mean, and we did this on a podcast. I had a friend that was making a delivery in the near Old Town in Fort Collins, very nondescript, very large, just plain Jane white building, an older building, but quite large. And called me after he got out of it, and he said, they're getting ready for something. He said there are stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of everything. The biomedical bubbles like you saw in Outbreak and gloves and just all that stuff. But he said the weird thing, and he said the place was stocked full, but the weird thing was is right inside the door on the right when he went in was a whole giant stack of satellite phones in cases. So,
why?
Exactly. Well, that fits perfectly what John Moore's talking about. It fits perfectly what we're talking about, bioweapons. It talks perfectly about the bolted down disc vans up in Laramie, Wyoming, for communications. I mean, we can go on and connect dots on this stuff for hours.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. Now, were those depositories, those places that had all this equipment, was that at the old CSU football stadium called Hughes Stadium?
No. It was near Old Town.
Okay. What was stored out at Hughes? I know there was some a lot of discussion about things at Hughes that the elite didn't want you to see.
Well, I really don't know. There was a lot of military trailers and a bunch of stuff out there that some people had told me about. I never saw any pictures or anything about it. They were storing a lot of what looked like, to this one person, they could have been prefabricated roadblock type stuff, or the stuff like you see down highways and construction like that, where they set these things to change the lanes and do this and do that. So, I mean, this is, Northern Colorado's been, the Bermuda Triangle of weird for the last 3 or 4 years, so. But one guy told me that all that stuff that was seen over at the old Hughes was stuff that they were going to use for the seating in the new football stadium. So could have been not, but I don't have any hard fact on it.
Well, do you know what supports your EMP report here too from John Moore is what we know is happening in Rawlins, and I published the photos on my website, and you published my story at revolutionradio.org, where we had pictures of what people have told me are UN vehicles with telecommunications gear designed to survive an EMP attack. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, that, I mean, that was blatantly clear when I saw that, when we saw that first picture of that one in that in the backside of that industrial area in Laramie. I mean, who bolts a truck like that to the ground? Unless A, you don't want it moved, and B, you want it grounded. You ever seen a box truck with a satellite dish bolted to the ground with steel straps over the front and the back of it? I never have.
No.
I'm 62 years old.
Well, slap me upside the head, Paul, but I thought those trucks and that those towers were in Rawlins.
There was one in Laramie, and there were some in Rawlins.
Okay.
You had one picture of the one. Yeah, there was one. The one that was strapped down, I believe, was in Laramie. It was on the backside of an industrial park.
You know, it's interesting, too. I just thought about this. If you did an EMP and it took out, 95% of all the cars, and then here comes the bio stuff, as it spreads, you really can't outrun it.
Nope. You sure can't.
I hadn't thought
about
that.
That's why you've got to have the preps and the stuff that you need to stay inside. Nobody in, nobody gets out.
Paul, what would you do to seal your house?
Well, if they're going to spray us, that's kind of a sticky wicket. But if it's something that's passed on human to human, like this Madagascar pneumonic plague, that's coffee. I mean, you've got to have contact with people. You had to have contact with people, with the Ebola. And so the SARS, all the H1N1, H5, all of those, you had to have physical contact with people. And so I think that's what they're going to do. Could they just spray the whole country? Possible. They've been spraying us for years anyway. There's no telling what kind of nanotechnology they got in that. But I think that if this stuff, like everything else, has been human to human contact, then you've got a really good chance of making it through until this bug burns out.
How long before the burnout?
I don't know. It just depends on the host country, the populations they get in, and stuff like that. But with these bioweapons, this isn't just a natural deal. But with a bioweapon, they can dial these things in. This thing can go off in 24, 48. 96 hours, whatever they want it. You know, as it stands now with the last reports out of Madagascar, this thing shifted or morphed or a different bug, but it went from a 3-day death rate to a 24-hour death rate. So that's really, really, really highly skeptical. I mean, this could be a mutation that happened in the victims. It could be something that they produced when they produced the bioweapon. I don't know. I mean, if I find out, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah. Paul, what time of day did you send me that email? Because for me to go back and hunt it, it's going to be hard. I get 500 emails a day.
I have no idea. I put up 40, 50 stories a day. My brains are like mush by the
end
of the day.
No, I'm talking about when you sent me the email on it. Do you remember when you said
on
that?
On the Laramie deal?
No, on the bioagents. The guy that was trained on CIA funding.
That was November the 11th.
Okay. All right, I'll have to go back and dig. Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. Paul, we're up against it, my friend. We have...
Wow.
I mean, we're seeing more going on now. I just go back in time, and I keep reflecting. Now I'm coming up in kind of our anniversary time when, Annie and I started the show, And I just wondered, you know, out loud here, you know, just did I ever think things would come like this? Now, in the first year, we covered the H1N1 and the planned roadblocks that were leaked to me from Colorado law enforcement with guys I grew up with. And so we had something kind of big there, but nothing like what we see today. Nothing. Nothing. But see, they could sneak this in on us in stealth because there was no Donald Trump. And now they got to be more bodacious and more open and more. They got to just come after us, Paul, because if 20% of the country is ready to act, next year at this time it could be 50%. And they can't allow that.
Nope, they sure can't. And, you know, we were talking about this when Trump was running up till the time, you know, he made the presidency. And I was, you know, saying on I don't know how many shows. I mean, these people have been running the planet for 600 years. They're arrogant. They're Luciferian. Most of them are pedophiles and all kinds of other stuff. They're not just going to, you know, walk up and walk out in the darkness and say, well, we got beat. They got too much stuff. They got nukes. They got bioweapons. They got money. They can buy whatever they want. And they're just—they're not going to allow us our freedom.
No way this doesn't end in bloodshed. Do you agree?
I agree.
Absolutely.
One way or another, bioweapon, civil war. Well, we're in a civil war right now. It just hadn't gone hot.
I would agree. Ideologically, we've been there for a while, courtesy of George Soros. Who, by the way, came out yesterday. Two things were revealed about George Soros yesterday. One, he has $18 billion in assets that he has put beyond the reach of the IRS. And when he was asked about it, he said, well, I don't believe in the nation state. It's archaic. It's doomed. Why would I spend money to support it? And that kind of sums up the mentality that we're up against. Paul, we got about 30 seconds. Any final words to the wise?
Well, just like Mexico said yesterday, keep prepping.
Keep prepping, that's right. Even the FEMA director has said it's a daily endeavor now to keep prepping. FEMA is telling us this.
Absolutely.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for rushing home and being part of the broadcast tonight. And they say, you know, good things and bad things come in threes. Well, we had a dose of kind of the negative tonight. It came in threes.
I'm sorry about that.
We're just part of the picture, and I'm the facilitator. Now I got to go try to unwind so I can get to sleep at night. Well, maybe about 2 a.m. Anyway, Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it when you're on. And best of luck with Revolution Radio. To everybody else out there, go out and have a great week. Enjoy your life, because who knows when it's going to turn on a dime. God bless everybody. We'll see you back here again next week.